continuing a series that we're doing. It's called Solid Food for the Mature, and it's based out of Hebrews 5, the end of the chapter 5, 13 and 14, and into chapter 6. If you want to read those verses, it says, "Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." And that's what it takes, is constant use. "Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, faith in God," I should say, "and of faith in God," because those really go together, "instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment." And those are, you know, we say, you know, why is this here? Or why is this here? And if I told you, oh, it's just random, it just happened to be there, there's no real reason for this being here, there's no purpose for this design, you'd say, you're lying, you know, that's a lie. This thing was designed very specifically for a very specific purpose. This was designed very specifically for a very specific purpose and brought specifically up here for that specific purpose. And so are you. You have been designed by God, very specifically designed and gifted by God for a very particular, timely purpose. Amen? There's nothing random about your life. There's circumstances that come and go, and there's issues, but God is behind it and in it and woven throughout. He designed you for a reason. And that's, this passage gives a list of kind of the God's design for how his design overview and how you should live it out. And in that sequence, there's a significance to the sequence, and it's a very brief overview, and we're going to go over that. The context of this passage is, we don't know if it's Paul the apostle, but we don't know the author, but he's pretty much rebuking the Hebrews for their lack of maturity. He said, you should be teachers by now, but you're acting like infants who are still on milk. And so he took it as, I mean, it's kind of a rebuke to them, but I'm taking it as a list of how many have known the Lord, have been surrendered to Christ for 5 years or less? Raise your hand. 5 years or less. There's some hands. So there's some, and how many, the rest of you, 5 years or more? And so, good. We are going to speak to both new believers who are going to be, that are still in training and learning these things and getting understanding of these things. And we're going to be encouraging and celebrating for those of us who have known the Lord. These are the pillars. These are the foundation stones. These are the mega issues that we are blessed by God with. So we're going to talk about those. So today we are going to look at water baptism. So it's the instructions about water, about baptisms. But I want to pray. Lord, we just thank you for this time. Father, we thank you for your Spirit being here with us to open our eyes and give us understanding. I pray that you would, Lord, lead us and firm up our convictions regarding your word and regarding specifically water baptism. Lord, thank you that your love is great. It's everlasting. And you receive us all because of what Jesus did and our faith in what Jesus did. I just pray you'd come, Lord, and bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the timing, go back up to the slide before the verse on Hebrews 6:1. The timing and order of these is significant to notice. Remember, it starts with repentance from acts that lead to death and a faith in God. It starts with repentance, meaning repentance means turn from a sinful lifestyle, turn from what we did that the Bible calls sin, but also turn from righteous acts that are masked to deceive us into thinking that somehow they make us right with God. Things that we do, going to church, reading the Bible, doing good things to people. The first word out of your mouth, if I ask you, what are you relying on for your entrance into heaven? The first word out of your mouth should be Jesus. Not, oh, I'm a good person, I try to help people, I haven't touched a drop of alcohol for so many years, I give money, I help little old ladies and whatever. Those are all nice things, but those have nothing to do with getting you right before God. It's all repentance from acts that lead to death, and that's part of it. It's both sinful things and self-righteous things that we repent of. We turn from as earning our way into heaven or into God's favor. And then it says, and faith in God, which has to go hand in hand. Repentance and faith in God are two different sides of the same coin. The Bible says there's none good. No one gets to heaven by their goodness. Not one. Jesus said there's no one good but God. And so we rely on what Christ did. We rely on what Christ did on the cross and what he accomplished for our salvation. And that makes us righteous. And then comes instructions about baptisms, and specifically water baptism, which you'd think wouldn't be a big deal. It's like, oh, water baptism, that's a nice thing to do. I want to read a story from the year 1573 regarding water baptism. It says there was a woman named, and I can't even begin to pronounce her name, Mainken Wens, who lived in Holland. She was arrested for her religious activity. This is in the year 1573. And was tortured in prison for 6 months. She could have been released, but she refused to promise that she would recant her heretical views. Mainken was such an effective speaker that the authorities were afraid that she would influence others. So to prevent this, the authorities used a tongue screw, which is a wooden screw that fastened her tongue to the roof of her mouth. In order to teach a lesson to the next generation, the authorities forced her children to witness her execution as she was burned alive at the stake. Her teenage son, Adrian, fainted. After the ashes had cooled, however, he sifted through the debris of wood, robe, and bones and found the tongue screw as a reminder of his mother's faith. What was her crime? She dared to read the Bible for herself and then discuss it with other believers. And then she would openly proclaim the gospel to any who would listen. She was brutally tortured and burned alive in front of her family because she refused to recant from her heretical view. What was her heretical view specifically? Baptism through immersion after salvation. That was why they killed her, because she believed that you get baptized after you're saved. So, water baptism doesn't seem to be the big, passionate subject today like it once was, but I think it's probably because the devil has successfully minimized our understanding of its significance. I think water baptism is very significant, but it's been kind of put off as this nice thing that some denominations do, or they do with children, and it's just nice, and we need to know the Word of God. We need to know the significant, powerful Word of God for ourselves, not just go with what we're told. We can go with what we're told by, before we buy a refrigerator, or before we go to a movie. What'd you think of the movie? Yeah, it was okay. Yeah, I'll go with that. But when we're talking about eternal life and the things of God, don't go with someone else's opinion. Go with the Word of God. What was that? Is there someone on the roof? It sounds like it's coming from up there. Okay. Go with the Word of God. And so I want to look at a passage out of Acts 2. It's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The disciples were filled with the Spirit. Just give you the background a little bit, then we'll get to a verse. But the disciples, so there's 120 people waiting in the upper room. Jesus said, go to Jerusalem, wait for power from on high. You'll receive power to be my witnesses. They're in prayer on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out, tongues of fire appeared on them, they began speaking supernaturally in unknown languages, which were praising and glorifying God. The people all around that were there for Pentecost to celebrate saw it, heard it, they knew something was going on, they were moved with conviction. And I will talk about next week baptism of the Holy Spirit. So today is water baptism. Next week I'm going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which has some more specifics to it. But so Peter stands up and he says, and he gives an explanation, gives his first sermon of what's going on and what this means and how it's a fulfillment of God's word from the Old Testament and so on. And the people, it says they were cut to the heart. And I want you to know, they were cut to the heart. They didn't just have their ears tickled. It's like, oh, that's an interesting opinion. That's a nice idea. It's like, well, I'll just dial that into my other opinions that I think are cool opinions and I'll consider. No, they were cut to the heart, to the point where they knew something is going on here and God is behind it and God is in it. And this is a supernatural, powerful thing that the Almighty God. And again, this is in Jerusalem. This is a people that know the Old Testament. This is a context. You've got to understand, they have some foundation there. And this, they know the prophet Joel in the sense of they know his writings. And so Peter's talking about this is the result. This is the fulfillment of what was spoken by the prophets. And so they're cut to the heart. They were moved deeply, and the result of that, they said, what should we do? The natural and healthy response when God gets to your heart is it should move you to want to do something. Not just, oh, I think I'll think something differently and go and do what I've always done, but I will do, what do I need to do? How do I position myself? How do I change my life? Where do I go? What do I say? What do I do to align myself with this is happening right in front of us? This is a God thing. How do I change? And the answer that Peter has for that question, Peter said in Acts 2:38, he replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins in the name of Jesus Christ. So, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which they're witnessing right there before them, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So be baptized, every one of you. And I just want to interject, your parents can't do it for you. Your grandparents can't do it for you. You have to repent, personally turn from sin. You can't rely on your upbringing. Oh, I go to church because my parents make me go to church, and that's just what I do and what we do. And as soon as I get old enough and go to school, I'm not going to do that anymore because that's my parents' thing. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, every man, woman, and child, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Being impacted by life-changing knowledge makes a person want to make some life changes. That should be the normal result. And that's what's exciting when you see that. That's why I love seeing different ones of your lives. As a pastor, it's wonderful. It's my great reward in ministry when you give your life out and you're doing things as a pastor, and then you see the Holy Spirit alive in someone. You see him alive in that person. You see him alive in that person. You see people making decisions that you know that is not of human origin. And that is just like makes everything worth it. It's like, I don't care what we, had to sacrifice. That was worth it to see that life change. And so Peter is giving them where they can go with that life change. Repent and be baptized. So the timing, and then it says later, those who accepted, not everyone, but those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added. So timing is important. The timing of the passage in Hebrews, repent from acts that lead to death, and faith in God are the beginning. That's the door into it. And then instructions about baptisms comes after that. So that's my first point, repent and be baptized. This is a result, it's a response to a changed heart. Water baptism is the next step. It's part of the first step. It's part of it, repenting, believing in Jesus for what he's done for us, and then openly declaring it publicly in the waters of baptism. It's an open declaration of a change that took place down deep in the heart first. John was baptizing in the Jordan River, baptizing the people. The Pharisees came along to see the commotion. The religious, the teachers of the law, the church leaders came along to the Jordan to see this, what's going on with John the Baptist and all these people getting water baptized. And he called out to them, "You brood of vipers." I mean, do things a little differently nowadays here, but, you know, with people, can you imagine? What are you doing here? Come back later when you're repentant, you know. I generally don't do that with people that walk in the church, whether they're churchgoers or ministers or not. John was different, and it was a different day and age, and it was a different season in church history. But the Pharisees, he called them out. You brood, you know, what's a brood? A bunch of snakes, you bunch of snakes. Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath of God? And then he says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Show me by your life that you are turning from sin, turning from dead good works that you think will save you, good works that you think will make you right with God, and show me that you have faith in God as God determines. And then let's talk about you coming along here to get water baptized. So the order is very important. John made it clear. Repentance is a condition of the heart first that's seen in a, played out in a person's life. There should be a desire to turn from evil. Imagine that. To turn from sin, to be honest, to have integrity. And then along with repentance comes genuine faith in God. And then Jesus is fast forwarding now. Jesus died, he was buried, he rose from the dead, he's appearing to his disciples. And in the end of Mark chapter 16, he says, whoever is baptized and believes, whoever believes and is baptized. Do I have that up there? He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. So Jesus puts baptism in there with faith. And faith and repentance hand in hand. They're one and the same. That's why John said, show me your repentance, show me your faith, then we'll talk about baptism. So that's why we don't practice infant baptism. An infant can't repent of sin, has no concept of sin. An infant can't believe in Jesus, can't put their faith in Christ. I honor and respect parents that have, you know, you say, well, I've been water baptized when I was an infant. My parents baptized me as a child. It's like, that's great. I commend any parent who has conviction enough to want to align their children, who are saying, publicly declaring, I want my child to be saved. I want my child to know Jesus. Yeah. So I'm not going to get any arguments or battles over that. But the context, what I always want to go back to the Word of God and stick with it, is that the context of water baptism is believing and repenting. Okay, and as simple as that. So if someone wanted to get water baptized, even though they were infant baptized, then I'd say, great, let's do it, because are you showing the fruit of repentance and faith in God? Then that's what matters. And if not, I'm not going to I'm not going to fight that. But they say, how old does a child have to be before they can be water baptized? It's like, well, old enough to show the fruit of repentance and faith in God, which is the same as an adult. How old does an adult have to be? Old enough to show the fruit of repentance and of faith in God. That's what I'm looking for, that in any age, at whatever age. And sometimes I know, you know, some kids are pretty serious about God at a young age. And I would work with the parents. I'd want to confirm that and work with the parents and have us all come to a consensus on that. But the significant timing is of baptism. It's important. After repentance, after faith. I just want to look at some practical aspects, again, of baptism. Baptism is identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. First, the death. It's dying. So Jesus died, which he laid his life down. He died. That's as if we were in his body dying with him. Water baptism is going in the water and going under the water as if you just died and you are being buried. And so it's the idea of falling back in the water, and because that means you're dying to yourself, dying to your identity, dying to your reputation. What were you when you were in high school? What were you known of as in high school? I mean, don't tell me out loud. But how did people think of you? Were you the scoundrel? Were you a liar? Were you a flatterer? Were you a thief? Were you a drug abuser? Were you a sex abuser? Were you a phony? Were you a good person? Whatever it might be. Were you a nice person? Whatever it might be. Water baptism says that person is dead. That person is gone. That person died. Whatever the issue, whatever the identity, whatever the reputation, and I'm not talking just high school, I'm talking pre-baptism, pre-turning to Jesus, whatever age that might be. It's dying to that sinful nature. It's being dead to that. And the Bible uses the word circumcision in relation to water baptism. And it's a cutting off of the old sin nature. It's a saying that part of that person's life is gone, done, over. This is what circumcision is what God used to define and separate his people from all other people of the nations. All others. He instituted that to say, and it's a very personal, very private, very hidden way to say you're different from all the other nations. God ordained it, and so in some ways, you can't look at a person, I can't walk down the street and say, they've been water baptized. You can't tell. You can't tell by that, and in a similar way, you can't tell, but it's the idea of dying to self and then being buried. Which again is why we practice full immersion. It's the idea of being buried under not just a little dirt, but being fully buried with Christ. Baptizo, the word baptize, baptizo, the Hebrew word, I'm not sure if that's Hebrew or Greek, means immersion. It means immersed. And so I'll tell you a little story here. A Methodist pastor who only sprinkles, Methodists only sprinkle the head, asked a Baptist pastor, if I immerse somebody just up to the ankles, is that enough? He says, no, answers the Baptist. How about up to the knees? Nope. How about up to the shoulders? No, sir. You mean I've got to get the water over the top of their heads? That's right, says the Baptist. Good, says the Methodist. That proves it's the top of the head that's the most important part, which is why we sprinkle the head. Okay. Not a true story. Just had to throw that in there. Came across that. Techniques differ. Techniques are different. If I was with someone out in the middle of a desert and there was a little Dixie cup of water, I would sprinkle them. And if they wanted to get water baptized, we would sprinkle. We're not stuck on that. But where we have access to full immersion, we do full immersion because it more symbolizes being fully buried with Christ and then raising fully from the dead with Christ, which is the idea is the condition of the heart. The condition of the heart for the person, not the technique of the water necessarily. So then they're raised with Christ, which means raised by God's power to live a new life. Free of the old reputation, the old is gone. Behold, all things are new. It's all new. I'm no longer stuck with the identity of being a drunk, lying, thieving, whatever person. That's not who I am now. That's who I was. That's not who I am. When you come up out of that water, you are a new creation in Christ. Yeah. The old is gone. Behold, all things are new. And that's the significance. Jesus rose from the dead, never to die again. He is the firstborn from among the dead with the glorified body, like we are all promised to have a glorified body. And it's a symbol of even in this life being raised to newness of life. Now, the best example of that is Jesus' own water baptism. And I want to look at Matthew chapter 3. And it's a very short, small passage, just a few verses, four verses, that describe his water baptism. And I'm going to put it up there. It's chapter 3, verse 13. And I'm reading out of the New International Version. But I want to look at these things. So verse 13 says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' Jesus replied, 'Let it be so now. Let it be so now.'" And I just think that's significant of the time. Jesus was 30 years old when he got water baptized. He hadn't done any miracles. He hadn't done any public speaking. He hadn't done anything with what we know to be the ministry of Jesus Christ. This was, "Let it be so now." He's getting water baptized before any of that. "It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Jesus Christ, who never sinned, knew no rebellion, anything, said he's doing it to fulfill all righteousness. How much more do we, who are sinners, who do need restoration? We need newness of life. And then John consented. Verse 16, "As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water," which again, he came out of the water. "At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit." Who say he? He, Jesus, saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. It might have been he, John, but the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And I just want to pick this apart a little bit. I just love it. First, there's three things. The first thing that happened when he came out of that water, the first thing that happened says heaven was opened. Heaven was opened. And that doesn't mean there was storm clouds and the clouds cleared. I don't think it means the nice fluffy clouds opened up and you could see blue sky. No, it says heaven was opened. There's an aspect of the supernatural kingdom of God, the Spirit of God, the realm of God opened up to be seen and to come down on Jesus, who is the Son of God, the perfect Son of God. It still, as it applies to Jesus, still applies to us. When you're walking in this life and you're hoping to do the best you want to do and you're hoping to honor your parents, you're hoping to honor God, but until you get water baptized, until you surrender in that way before heaven and earth, the heavens don't open and you're not seeing the kingdom of God like you will when you get water baptized. You are stepping into a new realm of life. Life takes a turn. And we see that we are not just in a natural world. We're in a supernatural world. There's a parallel universe going on. There's an earthly universe and there's a supernatural kingdom of God, kingdom of man. And it's not one or the other. It's both woven together at all times. But when you have your eyes open to the kingdom of God, you start to see that you have an enemy. And it's not rust only and, you know, needing a job and finances. You have an enemy called Lucifer, called the devil and demons, but you and you're fighting in ways that are completely different than you fought before. Completely different world than what you knew before Christ, before you had your eyes open. Anyone else say amen to that? Amen. That you who have been water baptized, you who have come into the kingdom, you have had your eyes open to the supernatural realm. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Our battle is not the Republicans or the Democrats or the Independents or the LGBT or the non-LGBT or your boss or your parents or your whatever. Our battle is against principalities and powers of darkness that are ancient, that have been around for ancient times. Big culmination of human history is culminating into a certain place where Jesus is coming back. And this life that we know of with sickness and disease and war and earthquakes and all that stuff is going to come to an end. It will come to an end someday. And we're going to live forever with Christ reigning over cities and nations with no enemy, with no corruption, no sickness, no death, no sorrow. But we're not there yet. There's a battle going on, and it's not just a natural, oh, we should just try harder and do better and stay out of trouble. That's not going to be enough. We need the power of God to live in the kingdom of God, and that's so the heavens were opened. The heavens were open, and then he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. The Spirit of God, the heavens are opened, and we realize we're in a spiritual battle, but then God provides the same one that he provided for Jesus to fight in that spiritual battle is the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit comes. The heavens opened, and the Spirit of God came down to Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's never sinned. Why would he need the Holy Spirit? Doesn't he already have the Holy Spirit? Apparently not. The Holy Spirit came down, descended upon him like a dove. Not a scary thing. The Holy Spirit's not a scary power to be avoided. The Holy Spirit's not a frightful thing to avoid, or a wacky thing for radical Christians to wield around. The Holy Spirit is as scary as a dove. I don't know of anyone, mommy, there's a dove in the yard. No, make it go away. I don't know of anyone. Our kids have never done that. It's like, cool, there's a dove. There's a lot of doves. Those are awesome. Let's see how close we can get before they fly away. Doves are not intimidating. And the Holy Spirit is not intimidating. He's here to help. He's here to guide. He's here to empower. He's here to guide us into what is his ministry, to teach us and remind us of the words of Jesus. And Jesus, it says, after his water baptism, he was led by who? The Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by who? The devil. So when I say that, you know, water baptism, okay, so backing up a little bit, the Red Sea opened up, and we say, you know, the enemies of Israel, Pharaoh's army, was not just separated by the waters of the Red Sea. The people didn't just go through and the waters closed, and now we got the army here and Israel here. It's like the enemy went in after them, and as soon as everyone was out, God closed the waters on the enemy of Israel, on Pharaoh's trained, experienced, powerful army, and his entire army, signifying the power of the devil to bring you back into slavery, symbolizes the power of the devil to want to get you back into a sinful life, into bondage and oppression and all that the Israelites were in for generations was destroyed. Now, the heavens opened up, the Spirit comes down, and God gives Jesus the power to fight the enemy. It doesn't mean you're not going to have a fight anymore, because Jesus was led right into led right into the wilderness to fight the devil. I mean, he went right into it, and much of that was restoring what Adam and Eve lost and failed at by the fasting. We've talked a lot about that. Jesus fasted 40 days. Adam and Eve ate. Sin is what their eating brought sin into the world. Jesus didn't eat and overcame the devil. And so you will still have a battle, but what did Jesus use to fight the devil? The Word of God. Jesus said the devil tempted him with things. And Jesus didn't go zap, you know, laser. Which we couldn't do. He could have zapped him and fried him in a little piece of toast. But we can't. He used the Word of God, which is what we can use. Amen. We can use. It is written. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Devil, it's written this and that and this and that. And that's what we have. We have, and the Holy Spirit's ministry is to remind you, to be in you, to dwell with you and show you and bring to mind those words of Christ that are powerful to defeat the devil and stand against the lies and live a victorious life in Christ. Is this good news? Yes. Is this water baptism? The Holy Spirit comes, and we've been given the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. So, being water baptized is part of God opening your eyes. It's not just a nice thing that some denominations do, or it's a nice thing to add on, or it's just a cool Christian thing to do. There's significant spiritual power and purpose to it. And then what does it say in that same? So it sounded like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love, in him I am well pleased." An audible voice, and some, you know, there's different passages on it, but the Father endorsed his Son. And he gives him full authority to be his ambassador to fulfill his purposes. God the Father spoke over his Son for his Son's hearing, but also for everyone's hearing. And this was a starting point. And like I said, this was the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. This was the beginning of his battle to defeat the enemy, to destroy the works of the devil for our sake, so that we have a way of forgiveness, so that we can put our faith in what Christ did. Until Jesus did what he did, we were all at a loss for what to do. But Jesus was endorsed by his Father to go represent him, and this is the same for you and I. Water baptism endorses you to represent him in his purposes on the earth. He opens up the kingdom of God for us to see it. He gives us the most powerful weapon that exists is the Holy Spirit to stand against the battle that we're going to now see and walk into. Because it's not just about your money or your car or your job or your relationships. It's not just an earthly natural battle. It's a supernatural battle. And the devil hates you. The devil hates anyone who especially is trying to live for Christ. Hates what you are, because you're made in the image of God, hates your children, hates your grandchildren, hates the generation before you and the generations after you, and will do anything and everything he can to destroy, to steal, kill, and destroy. And I've told the story before, we'll tell it again. I was walking to the woods one day as a kid, and I was just by myself and walking on this gravel road, and we got this woods, and I was just going to go, it was a good summer day, and all of a sudden a bee stung me. It's like, oh, wow. And I looked, expected to see a bee, a wasp or something, didn't see anything. It's like, oh, that's weird, I'm looking around, nothing. Because I've been stung before in this certain area. So I assumed, I'm walking along, and oh, another one right in my back, and I'm looking. It's like, you know, wasps are pretty big. You think you'd be able to see them. And then I get hit again. It's like, oh, wow. And then I hear snickering and giggling from the basement window of my friend's house, which is across the road. And he's laughing. He's got a BB gun, and he's pot-shotting me. And he's just shooting me, and he's a friend, and it was all good. And so we had a laugh over it and talked about it. It's like, I was in a battle and didn't even know it. So guess who's a sitting duck? I didn't have my BB gun with me. So he had the full advantage. And if you don't know you're in a battle with the devil, you are at his mercy. If you don't know that, because he's very good at it. He's very experienced at it. And he knows how to pot shot you. And he's looking for more than just pot shots. He's looking for a lot more than just to irritate you and upset you a little. He's looking to destroy you and anything about you and everyone that you care about. And so when you know you're in a battle, you're on guard. It's like, if I had known, it's like, next time I go for a walk in the woods, I'm bringing my BB gun. He might not even be there, but I'll be ready. I'll be ready, and we'll have it out. And we had a lot of fun with those BB guns back in the day. You need to know you're in a battle. And there's people here, this is another thing, okay, God endorses you to represent him. There's people in this room that know you're born again, you love Jesus, you're living for Christ, and you've been living for Christ for a long time, and you're a changed person, and God has opened your eyes, and you know you're in a spiritual battle. And even though you know that, you sometimes sin, and you do things that you didn't mean to do, or you regret, and you confess it, and you say, God, forgive me, and he forgives you, and he does forgive you. But it's at that time that the devil wants to pounce on you for that. He knows you're forgiven, but he still wants to grind your nose into it. He wants to say, you knew better. Who are you? Who do you think you are trying to represent God? You are such a loser. You did this thing and you did that thing. How do you expect to witness to your coworker? And he'll just pile it on. Anyone heard that voice before? I've heard it many times. It's like, you don't deserve to represent. And God, knowing in his wisdom, has given us a tangible thing done in a tangible place and a tangible time. And that's why I encourage people, write down the date in the, of your water baptism, because you can say, you know what, as somewhat true as that is, devil, on March 15th, 2020, or whatever the date, I was made new. I'm a new creation. And I have a Father that loves me. And I'm not going to listen to your lies. I'm not going to receive that into my soul. Because I can look in my Bible at this date and be reminded that I'm a blood-bought, water-baptized, new creation in Christ Jesus. It's not just in my head. It's not just a, I think so, and I hope I can think strong enough in that position. It's like, I can look at, I was in Lake Michigan in 1983, and I can look back, and I can remember who water baptized me. I can remember where I was. I can remember how cold that Lake Michigan water is, and I can remember going under, and I can remember it felt like bath water when I went under, and I can look back, and I can remember I'm a new creation in Christ. Yes, I screwed up. Yes, I did this. But it's my salvation is never based on my goodness or my righteousness. My salvation has been and always will be based on my faith in what Jesus accomplished on the cross. And he did it perfectly. And so, devil, take a hike. Amen. That's the wisdom of God. That's what he gives us, tangible. He knows we're human, tangible beings that need tangible things. And it's a stake in the ground. Your water baptism is a stake in the ground to look back and remember and be reminded that it's by faith in Christ. So you could say, you know, when we come to Christ, he writes our names. He signs our names in his book of life. And Paul explains to the Ephesians that when we come to faith in Christ, we're marked with a seal. What's the seal? The Holy Spirit. We're marked with a seal. So he signs our name, we're marked with a seal, and then the Father sends us out as ambassadors. So really, you may know the song that was written about that. Signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. All right, let's say it. Here I am, Jesus. Signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. Okay. So why were you born again? Why are you here? You're here for a very specific purpose, to represent God on the earth, because human history is culminating to something, and it's culminating to Jesus' return. And he is looking for sons and daughters who are dead to themselves and alive in Christ to represent him and fulfill his purpose. And he's given us all the tools we need, the Holy Spirit, eyes to see his kingdom, and it's a battle, but we win. That's why Paul says, fight the good fight. The bad fights are the ones we lose, but the good fights are the ones we win. Let's stand up and pray and close. This is part of what Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded, and I am with you to the end of the age, which is the age we're in right now. So we're going to have a baptism. Put that on the screen, a baptism, March 15th. If you're interested, see me or my associate pastor, Tony Crombie. And we'll help you steer your way into the right time and place. So in 2 weeks, it's in 2 Sundays, we're going to have a baptism. Thank you, Jesus. I'm gonna close out in prayer, but if you feel like God is speaking to you about water baptism, come, I'll dismiss everyone, come up and talk to me afterwards. Lord, we thank you for the practical benefit of your word and how you designed us to walk with you in your kingdom and by your power, Lord, to be dead to ourselves and alive in Christ. Lord, we thank you that you provided all that we need for life and godliness, and you blessed us in the heavenlies with everything we need. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us to be all the more equipped to do your will and to fight the battles that you want us to win. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your healing. Lord, that you have chosen to have us represent you is amazing. That you call us to be your sons and daughters. And you're not ashamed to be called our God. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good day. Say hi to someone on